why don't we see more women in politics? Connecticut Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz says a lack of access to childcare is a major roadblock for women who want to run for office.
Childcare continues to be a barrier that prevents too many mothers, especially low-income mothers who can't afford outside help, from running for office.
There are a set of bills before the Connecticut General Assembly right now that are meant to open more opportunities for women and girls in areas where they're disproportionately affected, such as politics. Among them is a bill that would allow some candidates running for office to use state funds for childcare expenses. Additional bills try to ensure equity in the workplace for female employees by addressing things like age discrimination and public transportation issues. You're listening to C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Coming up, a bill to curb Cuomo's emergency powers, the SUNY system attempts to close the graduation gap, and we'll continue our coverage of police reform in Suffolk County. I'm Sabrina Garone. Legislative leaders in New York agreed on a bill to curb Governor Andrew Cuomo's emergency powers during the COVID-19 pandemic. Karen DeWitt reports the measure comes as Cuomo is embroiled in two scandals over his nursing home policies during the coronavirus and accusations of sexually harassing former staffers.
The legislature granted Cuomo extraordinary powers. They go beyond the scope of what a governor already holds under the state law in times of emergency. They've included the power to shut down and open up businesses and schools and determine who gets vaccines. But after a report by the state's attorney general found the governor and his aides undercounted the number of nursing home deaths from the disease and withheld those numbers for months, Democrats in the Senate and Assembly felt the management of the pandemic needed more oversight. In statements, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie and Senate Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins did not mention any of the controversies, but they said they feel it's time to return to a more regular order of government and that the legislature needs to reimpose checks and balances on the governor's decisions. Once the bill is approved, the governor's emergency authorization will no longer be in effect, although some directives, including vaccine procedures and the requirement to wear masks, will remain for another 30 days. After that, the governor will have to go through a process that includes notifying relevant Assembly and Senate chairs of his decisions, as well as the legislative leaders. All of the directives will have to be posted on a website, with health and safety reasons to justify why the decisions were made. Comments from lawmakers and local government leaders affected by the decisions will also be included. The measure also gives the legislature the power to, in the future, repeal a declared state of emergency by a joint resolution of both houses. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
New York's state university system has expanded its re-enrollment outreach program to every one of its campuses in an attempt to increase the graduation rates of low-income students and people of color. Alec Lewis has more.
The program urges students who dropped out of college to re-enroll before they have to pay back their federal student loans. SUNY Chancellor Jim Malatra says the program helps close the racial equity gap in higher education.
You have to invest in the areas that work. Getting our students to stay in college, complete college, avoid unnecessary student loan debt, avoid unnecessary defaults on their student loans, getting them linked to a career is not just our mission, but it's our moral obligation as educators.
A SUNY report found that graduation rates among black students are 10% and Hispanic students 5% lower than the SUNY average. And student borrowers who withdraw from school are 3 times more likely to default on their loans than students who get a degree. Alec Lewis, WSHU News.
Coming up, more on the lack of racial diversity within Suffolk County's police department, but first, headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
more than 600,000 Connecticut residents are now eligible for the vaccine. That includes those 55 and over, teachers, other school employees, and child care providers. Visit ct.gov/COVID vaccine to schedule your appointment or call 877-918-2244. New Yorkers 65 and over and those with underlying conditions can sign up for an appointment by using the I Am Eligible app or by phone at 833-697-4829. If you're a teacher, first responder, or public transit, grocery store, or restaurant worker, you are also now eligible for the vaccine. The Connecticut Lottery says they're ready to take bets on sports and make lottery games available online. That's if the state approves online sports betting this year. It's currently not allowed in the state, but legislative leaders say that could change this year to give Connecticut a revenue boost. The pitch to win legislative approval was made by the lottery's president, Gregory Smith, in an attempt to help improve their reputation after several scandals. Lamont's chief of staff said the administration recruited Rob Simminger as the lottery's board chairman last spring to help fix the agency's image. Simminger is a former senior NBC Sports and ESPN executive. Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham has resigned from the post after more than 3 years. The Biden administration asked holdover U.S. attorneys appointed during the Trump administration to resign. Durham was appointed as special counsel back in December by outgoing Attorney General Bill Barr to investigate the origins of the inquiry into the Trump campaign's possible ties to Russia. On yesterday's program, you'll remember we discussed the number of Black police officers in Suffolk is a third of what it should be if it was to be proportional to the community they serve. And that number is even lower for officers above the rank of detective. Today, we'll hear more from WSHU's Charles Lane on the structural issues that hinder Black officers to advance.
In order to get promoted to sergeant and above, you have to take a civil service test.
It always seemed to us back then that the boss's kids were always really super smart because they all seemed to do really well on the test.
Howard Keith Belfield retired in 2007 as a detective and was president of the Suffolk Guardians, a fraternal organization for Black police officers. What Belfield eventually found out was that there are private study groups for these tests.
In order to get into these private study groups, you had to know somebody.
What makes these study groups so helpful is that they have the answers to the civil service tests.
There are some guys who were pretty good test takers, guys that went around and they took other tests throughout the state and kind of memorized answers and stuff and put it together. And then they had classes, but it was only, you know, certain people got into the classes. Everybody couldn't get into the classes.
Both current and former officers interviewed by WSHU confirm the existence of this stored bank of answers to the civil service tests. Sharing such material is actually a misdemeanor. Belfield explains that it's not as if Black officers are purposefully excluded from these groups. It's that getting in requires what some cops we talked to called a hook, or what others phrased as someone who can make the phone ring. Belfield calls this the rabbi system.
Guys had rabbis, you know, the chief who liked you or, you know, someone that you were related to or a neighbor of or, you know.
He says the system is self-perpetuating. When all the high-ranking officers go to the same barbecues or the same church, they promote people who look like them. He says this is how former chief of police James Burke got away with years of indiscretion. Burke served 3 years in prison for beating a suspect and covering it up.
How did he make it through from PO to chief of department without having some type of rabbi, a hook, to keep them from firing him? But he was able to get away with it. That's the rabbi system right there, man. That's the hook. That's the big hook. You know, Black officers, you know, we would talk about stuff that we'd hear that, you know, white officers getting jammed up for this or that, and that we'd be fired for that. These guys, they can get away with it, man, you know.
As recently as 2019, evidence of this rabbi system went public when Detective Sergeant Jeffrey Walker, vice president of the Suffolk Guardians, went before the county legislature to complain that he was passed over for a promotion.
I went for an interview and I was told that, you know, the way it is, Jeff, you know, politics, you're not getting the job.
The promotion Walker sought was offered to the nephew of the chief of detectives. Following inquiries from the Department of Justice and after the legislature hired a special prosecutor, the promotion was rescinded. Police Commissioner Geraldine Hart declined numerous requests for an interview for this story. For over a week, a department spokesperson said WSHU's questions and requests for information were being, quote, worked on. Ultimately, our questions were never answered. Back in 2019, Hart told the legislature that promotions are never political.
The police department has made a concerted effort to change the way promotions are awarded to ensure that a merit-based system is in place.
She went on to say that the department has significantly boosted opportunities to minority officers.
We have seen a steady increase of minority transfers into specialized commands with the highest number in 2018, and we are on pace to break that in 2019.
Statistics still show police brass as overwhelmingly white. There are 395 white officers above the rank of detective. There are 30 that are not white, and of those, 4 are black.
The police commissioner can want to make it happen, but if the county exec, if the legislators don't want it to happen, it ain't going to happen.
Retired Detective Howard Keith Belfield says the department has had people telling it for years that things were unfair. Some of those people are now on a state-mandated reform task force that should be issuing recommendations in the coming days.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Here at WSHU, we think local news is important, and we're glad you think it's important too. Thank you for your support, and thank you for sharing our podcast with your friends. I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.